1 John. The book of 1 John. This morning we talked about actually the foundation for spiritual warfare and how our spiritual life needs to have the right faith foundation. How we need to be sanctified in our lives. How we need to have God's strength in our lives. Tonight I want to carry on that thought. And my message tonight is from profession to perfection. A lot of people are stuck at the profession stage. But the Bible teaches that we're supposed to grow up into a perfect man, fully committed to Christ. And in our passage tonight, in 1 John chapter 2, verses 1 and 6, John writes, he says, "My little children, these things write I unto you, that ye sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. Amen. And he is the propitiation or the payment for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. And hereby we do know that we know him, if we keep his commandments. He that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar. And the truth is not in him. Yeah. But whoso keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we are in him. He that saith he abideth in him ought himself also so to walk, even as he walked." Yeah. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank you for this time. Lord, we thank you for your word. And Father, help your word have free reign tonight. Help your Holy Spirit, Lord, just come and change our lives. That we will go out of here more like you than what we came in. Father, just watch over us tonight as we go through this message. We ask these things in your Son's name. Amen. Amen. You know, in introduction, the Christian's life begins with a new birth. If you are born twice, you die once. If you're born once, you die twice. We know that for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. We know that Christ said that God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. You know, we are born again through faith and Jesus Christ. Nicodemus found it. Joseph of Arimathea found it. The apostles minus Judas found it. There's only one way. There's only one way. And that's Jesus Christ. Amen. And there's no other way. Now, God wants us to be confident of our salvation. You know, Peter writes, he says, that if these things be in you and abound, you'll never slip. You'll never fall. You'll never falter. The joy of knowing that we are the children of God is something that should change your entire life's perspective for here as it is, has it already changed eternity. In Galatians chapter 3, verse 26, it says, "For we are the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus." John chapter 6, verse 47 says this, "He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life." Has it right now. Folks, we have an inheritance. We know what we're... The will's already been written. The house has already been prepared. And we're just waiting for Christ to call us home. Amen. We're just waiting for Christ to call it home. So the Christian life begins with new birth. God wants us to be confident of our salvation. And so tonight, there's three words I want us to look at for the church and for us as individuals, as Christians. And this is the normal progression in the Christian's walk. It's profession, progression, and perfection. Profession, progression, and perfection. In verse 6, we see this. It says, "He that saith, he abideth in him." See, we downplay the importance of profession. You know, I've heard people say this, that I'd rather see a sermon than hear one any day. However, my Bible says that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. My Bible also says in Matthew chapter 10, verse 32, it says, "Whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father, which is in heaven." It also says that if we deny him, he will deny us. Amen. And so the issue is, you know, we've got too much of this being quiet. I'll be a silent witness. You can't be quiet. Right. Paul couldn't be quiet. He couldn't. He says, "I have an unction from on high. I'm compelled. Woe unto me if I don't preach the gospel." Oh, Christian, that is our profession. We should go out and tell others how God's changed our lives. We say, it says, "He that saith that he abideth in him." Don't downplay the opportunity to talk about Christ. You know, we are to give testimony to our faith. We are supposed to believe and confess. If you know the Romans road, you know what Romans 10:9 says. It says, if thou shalt what? Confess. It's the very first thing. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus. We talked about this, about the Lordship of Christ the other night. And shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Amen. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with confession man believeth unto salvation. Confession is made unto salvation. So we're supposed to give testimony to our faith. You know, when you lead someone to Christ, when I lead someone to Christ, the very first thing I say, you go tell somebody about it. You go tell somebody, because if you're not willing to tell somebody about the greatest gift you ever got, there's something wrong. Yeah. There's something wrong. If someone saved your life and took you out of the grasp of a car running down Tally, or a tractor going through the night, going through the yard, and someone pulled you out of the path of that vehicle, you'd be indebted to them, and you would introduce them to everybody you know as, "This man saved my life." Right. Folks, why don't we do that with Jesus? Right. He has saved our life. He has given us eternity. Oh, we should do that. We need to believe and confess. And then we need to follow him in baptism as a means of public witness. In Romans chapter 6, verse 4, it says, "Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism unto death. All things passed away, all things become new." I serve God with the new man, not the old man. "Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism unto death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life." Do you know all these things have some action on them? We're supposed to walk in newness of life. We're supposed to confess. We're supposed to proclaim. We're supposed to go and do all these things. So we are to give testimony to our faith by believing and confessing. We need to show his baptism as a means of public witness. And if you've been saved but you've never been scripturally baptized, you need to get that done. Right. You need to get that done. That's the first step of obedience. You go look in the book of Acts. It says, as many as received him, they were what? Baptized. They were glad that they received them and they got baptized. The Ethiopian eunuch with Philip in the book of Acts said, right, "What hinders me?" He says, "If you believe, you can." Folks, baptism follows salvation. It's an essential thing. If you're not willing to do something simple in front of the body of Christ, how can you be an effective witness out there?
That's good.
How can you be an effective witness out there? We are to give testimony to our faith by being there in person. In Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25, we are supposed to exhort and not forsake the assembling of ourselves together, but what? Exhorting one another, and so much the more as we what? See the day approach. Folks, wake up. The day is approaching. Christ is coming back. Yeah. And it's more sure than any election. I guarantee it. See, in Acts chapter 2, verse 42, after they heard the word, they received the word. They received the word, they got baptized, and look what they did afterwards. It says, and they continued steadfastly. That means any time they had an opportunity to come and serve God, they did it. Anytime that they heard the apostles say, this is what you need to do to walk the Christian walk, they did it. And they didn't put up any sort of excuse. They didn't put any sort of reason why they couldn't do it. They were present and they did it. It says, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and in what? Fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. And this was not by themselves. This was communal. Because you go on in Acts chapter 2, it says, and they had all things common. And they went from house to house. See, we are to give testimony of our faith. We're supposed to believe and then confess our belief. We're supposed to be baptized and show the world that we are identifying with the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. We need to go out and be there in person. There are no proxies in the Christian faith. There are no proxies. And then we are supposed to be His witnesses. In Acts chapter 1, verse 8 says, ye shall receive power, and then you'll be witnesses both to me in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and the uttermost parts and to the uttermost parts of the earth. And folks, if you're not involved in missions, you need to get involved in missions. Amen. That's how you do it. If it's just about you, you're missing the point. In Romans chapter 10, verse 17, it says, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And it says, how can they hear unless there's a what? Preacher. Well, I'm not the preacher. No, that's not what that means. Okay, we're all supposed to go out and preach the gospel to every creature. It's just not for a select few in the church. It's everybody's responsibility. That's why the gates of hell are prevailing against the church, because not everybody is doing their part. So we're supposed to give testimony of our faith. Then there is progression. In verse 6 of our text, it says that we ought Himself also to walk. See, abiding in Christ should show in our walk. Now, how should we walk tonight? I'm going to give you 6 things that we should do in our walk. This is a great barometer of how our Christian life is going. The first one is that we're supposed to walk honestly. In Romans chapter 13, verse 13, it says, let us walk honestly, as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness. You know what that means? It means we don't act like the world. We don't act like the world. Not in chambering and wantonness, or not in strife. See, we're supposed to proclaim the truth, and it's the truth that brings strife. But we're supposed to give the message. So how should we walk? The first thing is we need to walk honestly. And the first thing about that is you need to know that you're saved. And if you're going out and telling people you're saved and you're not walking honestly. You know in your heart if you have Christ as your Savior. And if you don't know for sure, settle it tonight. Amen. Settle it tonight. Because we need to walk honestly. Secondly, we need to walk in the Spirit. In Galatians chapter 5, verse 16, it says, this I say then, walk in the Spirit. Walk in the Spirit. I can't get victory in my life over sin. Walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. See, the reason people sin willingly is because they're not sold out to God. God's not Lord of their life. They may not be saved in the first place. If there's no change, no old things passed away, new things, no excitement in your life, no willingness to tell somebody, are you really saved? Are you really saved? We're supposed to walk honestly. We're supposed to walk in the Spirit. How should we walk? We need to walk in love. In Ephesians chapter 5, verse 2, it says, and walk in love. Now, that is our total life. It says, as Christ also hath loved us and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling savor. Do you know how much God had to give up for our salvation? Do you realize how much God, Christ suffered on the cross for our redemption? Do you realize what painful death he suffered for our salvation? Oh, folks, if we got a vision of that, it should make us more thankful. It should make us want to walk in the Spirit. It should make us want to walk honestly. And he did it because he loved us. Here in his love, not that we first loved him, but that he what? First loved us and gave himself to be a propitiation for our sins. We're supposed to walk in love because of the love that was shed. The Bible says that we're supposed to have the love of God shed abroad in our hearts. We're supposed to abound in love. So we need to walk honestly. We need to walk in the Spirit. We need to walk in love. Then we need to walk circumspectly. I've been having problems recently in my physical life. I put things down and I can't find them anymore. Okay? And my wife laughs at me and then it starts doing it with her. But the issue is this. We forget. We should not forget what God has done for us. The Bible says then in Ephesians chapter 5 verse 15, it says, see then that you walk circumspectly, not forgetful, always looking around for an opportunity that is right in front of us. Remember how the nation of Israel went across the Red Sea and they get out a couple of days in the desert and there's no water and they're all going to die. And then all of a sudden, there's a pool right there that they overlooked. Folks, there's so many things that God's blessings come in our lives and we just overlook them. Or we take them for granted. Or we never seize them. It says, see then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. Come out Wednesday night and let's learn about wisdom. Because that's what Proverbs is all about. God wants us to be wise. So we need to walk honestly. We need to walk in the Spirit. We need to walk in love. We need to walk circumspectly. And then next we need to walk in faith. Well, I'll do it if I can find the time. I'll do it if I could pay the fee. I'll do it if I can go out and find the energy to do it. No. We need to walk in faith. Colossians chapter 2 verse 6 says this, as ye have therefore received Christ Jesus Lord, so what? So walk ye in Him. So we need to walk in faith, and then lastly, we need to walk in wisdom, redeeming the time. In Colossians chapter 4 verse 5, it says, walk in wisdom toward them that are without, redeeming the time. What does that really mean? Don't stay confined to the church building. We need to proclaim the gospel out there, to those that are without, outside of the body, the ones that need redemption, the ones that Christ died for also. See, are we walking in these things? Are we walking honestly? Are we walking in the Spirit? Are we walking in love? Are we walking circumspectly? Are we walking in faith? Are we walking in wisdom? If you say, well, there's some problems I have in my life, then get those fixed tonight. Get them fixed tonight. So my question tonight is, how are you progressing in your Christian life? See, because if you don't have a profession of faith, there can be no progression. But once you are professing Christ as your Savior and Lord, you should be becoming more like Him every day. Because the goal of Christ, His will for your life, is to be conformed to His image, which is perfection. And I misspelled it. Okay? That's what you get for copying and pasting. It's perfection. Okay? It's perfection. So number three is perfection. Even as He walked. We have a perfect example to follow. In 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 21 and 25, it says, "For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that we should follow His steps. Who did no sin, neither was guile found in His mouth. Who, when He was reviled, reviled not again. When He suffered, He threatened not, but committed Himself to Him that judgeth righteously. Who His own self bare our sins in His own body on the tree, that we being dead in to sins should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. For ye were as sheep going astray, but now are returned to the Shepherd and Bishop of your souls." See, we have a perfect example. We have a friend in Jesus. He is our rock. He is our salvation. He is our all the things that we need. He's everything we need for life and godliness. And so we have a perfect example to follow. You know, there's not many good examples in the world to follow right now. But I can tell you that the example of Christ is sure. I can tell you that the example of Christ is truth. So in perfection, we need to walk even as He walked, because we have a perfect example to follow. Perfection here means that we're not going to be perfect. We're still going to mess up. But the righteous man falls down seven times and does what? He gets up again. But we need to get closer. We need to become complete in Him. See, in looking at Jesus, we can be victorious. In Hebrews chapter 11, verse 2, a very familiar verse, it says this. It says, "Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down on the right hand of the throne of God." And He did that for us. What kind of example are we setting for the cause of Christ? What kind of example are we setting for our families? What kind of example are we setting in the workplace? What kind of example are you setting in God's house? See, we need to look to Jesus, because we can set the example that people need out there. Okay? And when we see Jesus, when we meet Jesus, we will be like Him. Amen. In 1 John chapter 3, verse 2, it says, "Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is." Right. Tonight, there's three commitments that we need to make a difference in our walk. The first one is I will not look at the faults of others. Remember in the Gospels, the woman that was taken in adultery, And all the religious people brought her to Jesus and set her down in the midst. And they said, "We saw this woman in the very act doing this." And Jesus, he heard them, but he didn't acknowledge them. He was just writing down on the ground. He says, "Hey," and then he said this. He says, "He that has no sin, let him cast the first stone." And it says that they all walked from the youngest to the oldest. And then there was left only Jesus and the woman. And he said, "Where are those that condemned you? Who's here to condemn?" He says, "No man." And Christ said this. He says, "I judge you not." He says, "Go and sin no more." Folks, when we meet Christ and we have a change in our life, we should want to follow Him with all of our heart. And we should not want to find fault in others. Secondly, I will look for evidences of Christ's likeness in others, not to judge them, but to be encouraged and to encourage them. To encourage them. See, if we're trying to find fault, you're going to be looking for something that makes you feel better than them. And that's not going to work. I will look for evidences of Christ's likeness in others. And I will keep looking to my perfect Savior. We need to do that every day. This morning, I asked our teens, I said, "How often do you pray?" "We pray at every meal." "How long does that take?" Not long. "Do you pray for other things?" "No." "Why not?" Folks, if your prayer life is just praying at meals and praying when you get around to it, where's your faith? Where's your faith? Where's your looking to Jesus? Where's your focus? Is your focus on Him or is your focus on you? See, what we need tonight is we need to understand where we are in our spiritual journey. Do we need profession? Do we need a Savior? Are we progressing? And are we getting to be more like Him every day? That's the point. Where are you tonight? Are you walking honestly? Are you walking in the Spirit? Are you walking circumspectly? Are you walking with wisdom? Are you walking in love? Are you walking in faith? Are you doing those things? Tonight, let us all recommit that we'll be more like Jesus. Amen. Amen? Let's stand. Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank You for this day, Lord. Lord, I just ask, be with us, time of invitation. Father, help us, Lord, just to look to You, the author and finisher of our faith. Father, I pray that You just help us, Lord. If there's someone that does not know You as Savior, Lord, tonight, I just pray that they would come to a saving knowledge of You. Lord, I just ask that You just help us, Lord, to do what You want us to do, Lord, for Your glory and for Your honor. Father, help us to be Your servants. Help us to love You with all of our heart. Fill us with Your Spirit. Fill us with Your grace. And Lord, help us to be in Your image. We ask these things in Your Son's name. Amen.